Living Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists that do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We disclose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Age of Vision radio show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Good morning, UCY radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. It is Wednesday, and I am calling you to... I'm sorry, I have a phone call that's interrupting me. I think I'll ignore it. Hold on one second. Hold on just one second. Let me check into something. I want to make sure that the producer of our show is happy with the way things are going. So hold on. Today I'm going to be talking to Thomas Ackerman, and we are going to be talking about the Free Radicals, which we've talked to you about. It's a movement that we really do want to get going, and we are making our own progress on that, and we are heading forward. We're making efforts to connect with artists. So I will talk to you about this today, and Thomas Ackerman will be here. One of the things we want to talk to you about is the idea of consciousness, raising our level of consciousness that we have, and being true to ourselves. I think I've shared with you the information about the Four Agreements, which is basically a philosophy that, you know, we be impeccable with our word, don't take things personally, don't make assumptions, and do your best. That's kind of the four general ones. You know, that's exactly how I run my life. Ever since I read that book, it gives me a good, strong basis of sense of moving forward. And one of the things that Thomas and I have talked about is we really need to get people inspired to move on their own. So with that, let me just introduce Thomas so he can engage with us. Thomas, are you on the line with us still?
Lonnie, I'm right here. Yes.
Hello. Yes. Well, thanks, Tom, for being here with us. And as I said, I want us to talk about the Free Radicals. I really want to move forward and help people understand what this really means and why we think it's important. But I think the why of why it's important connects into the general theme of today's topic, which is, you know, the level of consciousness, what it means to have a conscience. So do you want to add your thoughts to that? Do you want to talk? Would you do me a favor and just talk a little bit about, let's introduce the Free Radicals once again. I know we've talked about it. It seems redundant, but it's a very important movement that we believe needs to get off the ground.
I'm really happy to be on your show again, Lonnie. Thank you for inviting me again to talk to a painter, a lowly painter from his studio. I'm sitting in my studio, and it's great to talk to you. And I'm feeling a little flat today, Lonnie. I didn't have a lot of sleep last night, but I'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about the Free Radicals. Like, what's your vision for the Free Radicals, and what's the purpose of the Free Radicals?
The Free Radicals, in a quick synopsis, was an off-the-cuff kind of idea. Buddy and I had, we basically created a name because we felt frustrated with our work in the system that we're in, the museum system, the gallery system, the showing system. And it was a kind of reactionary, well, the word itself, Free Radical, suggests some really nasty little buggers in our bodies, right? So it was sort of like an idea of starting to gnaw away conceptually at something that we wanted to change. We wanted to have a different vision for ourselves within an art system. And both of us, we'd been doing our work quite a while, about 30, he's at least 35, I'm over 40 years of making paintings. So the Free Radicals, in essence, was just like a reactionary idea. And as it has been growing, now the interesting thing I thought about this yesterday, it's actually a very personal feeling, this idea of Free Radical. And what I'm trying to pass on through a process that I have developed in my painting that allows me to take other artists' work and transfer it through this process to look as a free radical. It's the free radical is a way something looks, the surface, the painting looks a certain way. And the concept behind the free radicals is to, this has come up before, the idea of uniting the clans, of bringing people in, like-minded people that have a commitment, that have a conscience. A conscience is what you mentioned. And I think this is what the Free Radicals somehow through a process. And I'm going to just say a little thing about the art thing, which is curious, because art is not a primary function. What is primary is our curiosity and our impulse to express ourselves in some way. Every person has this. This is fundamental to our nature. I mean, if we're breathing and alive and we have a heart pounding in our chest, there is an impulse in all people to express themselves. And we have, of course, language, and it gets very complex. But this fundamental impulse is the free radical impulse, I think. This is what I'm zeroing in on, a very personal feeling of the desire, the need to express something. Now, the whole...
I like that. That's really excellent, the desire. Go ahead, and I will add something to this when you finish.
Okay. And so I'm trying to synopsize free radicals for people that are listening and have been listening to me on my own YouTubes, and when I try to explain it.
And tell them your YouTube channel.
H. Thomas Ackerman is where you can find me on YouTube, and I have quite a number, over 700 videos. And actually, I was editing video stuff, and that's a hell of a lot of videos over the last 6 years, I guess. And it's tough to edit stuff, and because my early videos and some later on were kind of brutal. I'm not, you know, a presenter, but I'm working on it. So the idea of free radical, though, is to first of all accept something within ourselves that's extremely personal. It's not an art movement. Primarily, it's something that each one of us has with inside of us that wants to come out. And this is like, not everybody is an artist. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that, and I think that's something that's been hijacked, because people want to feel special. And when people say, oh yeah, my child is an artist. Well, a child has a need to express themselves. They're not an artist. They have a need to express themselves. The whole art thing is kind of a cultural phenomenon that gets put on us, we get burdened by this in so many different ways. And I think the free radicals want to extract all this conformity that we have associated ourselves. Our creativity has nothing to do with art. It has to do with a fundamental, very personal desire to express something in ourselves. So the free radicals want to become a kind of hub for this feeling, this idea. And the kicker on this, Lonnie, this is sort of what, you know, I blow my horn on this, because after 40 some years of doing this, I'm a late bloomer. I call myself a late, maybe boomer is probably better, late bloomer. And the idea of having produced or of having invented a way to work on my own work, the way I work on my own
page. I've actually seen your artwork, and let me explain this because it's very, I've heard you try to explain it, but what it does, the artwork, the thing that Thomas does, he's invented this technique so that at the end of your piece of artwork, it actually, he puts this additional, I don't know, element or component or something over the artwork after it's dried, and it sort of makes it pop out from the canvas. It's a very, and super shiny. It's a very unique, it gives it the most unique look I've ever seen. Kevin brought an original painting to Eugene when he first did his symposium here in Eugene, Oregon in 2013. He had it, it was rolled up, and we unrolled this magnificent piece of artwork. I was like, ooh, you think that's going to be fine? And we unrolled it, and it was just like, reminded me of Gumby almost. It was like, came right back into form, you know? It was a very unique type of invention, I have to say. It's quite remarkable, Tom.
Well, you're mostly right on the description, except that there is nothing on the surface other than the paint that is the painting. So there is no...
Really?
There is no varnish or anything like that applied.
You don't add anything else to it at the end of these skins. Like,
nothing.
You paint on the skins, and that's it.
Nothing. It's like a canvas with paint on it, basically, is the end result. And if anybody looks at it, there is going to be a certain kind of puzzlement. There is a mystery there because it's natural to wonder. I mean, artists have their own way of working. Each artist, if they know what they're doing with their materials, will have an extraordinary, what I call a surface emanation. It's like you'll see, excuse me, you'll see people in museums go very close to paintings quite often, trying to figure out how an artist might have done something. Have you ever felt that?
I've spent many hours at the museum in Los Angeles, at the J. Paul Getty Museum, standing really close to a Rembrandt, like as close as I could go, trying to figure out how do you do that?
it's well, Rembrandt you bring up because Rembrandt is phenomenal from the point of view. His paintings look very dark, and there is that kind of light area that usually the face or what he wants to draw attention to. But he never used black. What he did is he glazed many, many layers, like 20, 30, 40 layers of colors that ended up looking very, very dark. So there is a depth within a Rembrandt that is impossible to recreate unless you actually do it the way he did it. And people that have copied Rembrandt, and I'm sure there are quite a number of copies in the museums, which is another big fallacy. People go to museums and think they're looking at original works by Vermeer or by Velázquez or Rembrandt. These are paintings that were forged by some very, very brilliant artists in the turn of the century, and sold by a art dealer called Duveen through the help with Berenson, he was sort of an art critic based on Italian art. His expertise was Italian art.
Well, I can see that we're going to have to actually get you back on to have a show, a discussion about art history, because art history really is elemental to the core of our conversation here, which is how do we, the level of consciousness, which ties into the free radicals. So,
it's sort of tying in for me. I'm kind of stream of lack of sleep consciousness going on here, but. The idea of this personal feeling, okay, Lonnie, you know and I know that in this monumental epic challenge that we have in order to get people to feel the significance to their own personal life. It's like, you know, how I feel about this is all my paintings are about this topic. I don't even know what to call it, this tragedy that has occurred at Fukushima.
I call it the Fuku fight. That's how I refer to it.
We're in a big Fuku fight, bloody right, and all the other fights, the San Onofre fights and the Diablo Canyon fights.
Well, it sort of encompasses the entire nuclear thing.
Exactly. So. It's okay. And you know that in my videos, and you've commented on my YouTubes, and what I say, I'm not a facts person in that sense, because there are a lot of extraordinary researchers right through the gamut. You know, I know personally, I've talked to Dana Dernford, and of course Blanche with his amazing rants early on, and there are Miss Milky, the Clown, Jan Brooks, and all these people that have presented us unequivocally, Lonnie, unequivocally. This comes through so powerfully, these facts of what's happened, and this kind of state that we find ourselves, this incredulity, this how could this happen on my watch? It's like,
How could it happen? How could it be ignored? That's the incredulity. So it happened. But how is it that we now are going into year five with four nuclear power plants in complete meltdown and nobody's doing jack shit about it, and they're conducting these wars in the Middle East like it's fucking business as usual?
Out bloody rages. The denial and all that kind of I don't know, posturing that is going on about something that is so obvious. It's so obvious. It's like, there is no doubt, people, there is no doubt how severe and dangerous the danger that we're in. So, okay, like I said in my last video, I'm not shouting at you, I'm shouting with you.
So let's move this along. We're at 8:16. I really want to get to this idea of consciousness. So I want us to tie in the free radicals to how it ties in to the consciousness and how...
Okay.
Can actually take action.
Well, what I would call it, well, I mean, everything is consciousness. I like the idea of conscience, or the idea to do the right thing. And it's something that is, I'm attempting to keep mobilizing myself a little more every day. It's not like a finished product. I mean, this is something, it's a challenge for us to do the right thing, knowing what we know and turning our knowledge into action. I think this is the pivotal phase that I feel. Through the free radicals, I can somehow, this is my hope, this is what I'd like to do, is I want to be able for people to feel connected through their actions, not just through their knowledge, but to be able to turn this knowledge, and my knowledge has been, over the time that I've been painting, I've developed a way of making a painting and a process that is actually very conducive to bringing other people in their action, in their painting, in their expression. And I think once this, if I'm successful, and I haven't been because my credibility is way down since I started the Fuku fight, the museum types won't talk to me anymore. So I'm having to find probably a third party. This is what I'm looking for, somebody that can speak on my behalf rather than me talking. It's always easier when someone else makes a position. If I say, oh, I'm really bloody incredibly smart and brilliant.
But I take this back. I don't think that has anything to do with your credibility. I think you need to walk back and understand the power of the nuclear cartel, the nuclear industry, and how they permeate every level of our culture. It's the same reason we do not see television editors allowing news people to talk about the nuclear stuff on the television. It permeates our culture. It is a topic. What do they say? Persona non grata, you are not allowed to, you do not exist if you talk about the nuclear industry. And in fact, we have been relegated to the YouTubes and to quote alternative news radio that, you know, it is not just that you don't have credibility. You have 30, 40 years of credibility. However, the second you dipped your toe in the anti-nuclear fight, you did not exist. And every single museum person knew about it. I venture to say, this is my opinion, and this is why I strongly support the free radicals and your idea about getting this process into the museums, is that at a very soon point, very critically, our culture is going to recognize, I mean, at a dead stop, holy fuck, the radiation coming from Fukushima is outrageous. If we don't stop the Columbia Generating Station or Indian Point, we are not going to just have Fukushima being, especially the Columbia Generating Station, because it's right next to Hanford. If something happens to that, the entire culture will stop, and our artwork and everybody talking about the anti-nuclear will be revered as, oh my God, you guys were right. And I venture to say, this is why I mean, this is exactly why I am on the radio three times a week. It's why I wake up first thing in the morning. I understand, as you do, as the people listening to this show do. The severity of the situation is grave. We are not just talking there, you know, whacking off with our kids and they're, you know, doing whatever they need to do, which is the depravity of the ancients. We've seen this throughout the entire history of humankind. The nuclear cartel and the pharmaceutical fakakta that they have put us under. So they mixed it up with the nuclear. So now the nuclear can say, hey, we're not causing the cancer. It's the pharmaceuticals. It's the GMOs. It's all the chemicals. It's all this. It's everything else. They did it. It came at the same time. It was a double whammy. So neither one of them would have, what do they call that, plausible deniability.
What you end up with is like a complete, total toxic soup, physically, spiritually, mentally. Everything has become toxic.
Right.
And the,
why it's up to us to believe in humanity and to discuss what we're talking about, consciousness and having a conscience.
And I think that free radicals, to draw in the free radical concept, it literally takes that overwhelmed feeling out of the equation, because I think I feel this myself. I feel overwhelmed. And then I make the work, and with the expectation of actually having it exhibited and letting other people into this world that I have understood. And this makes the feeling of being overwhelmed. It subsides in myself, being able to do this. So I think the free radical is on whichever level. And you know that I think last time we mentioned that I suggested the whole thing on a one-minute video where people walk out of nothing into the camera was an idea that Steven Schellenberger came up with. Basically, I kind of translated it into the free radical. Steven Schellenberger is an activist on behalf of children and the abducted children that are being lost all the time. This is a whole...
That idea was about the walking out of nowhere and then disappearing?
Yes.
Come out of that idea, these children who were like just disappeared...
It was connected for Stephen. I think he came up with this, and he said one morning he was visiting for a couple of weeks, and he said, I want to do this walk coming from behind a tree out of nowhere and walking past the camera, like just into oblivion or something. And I thought, wow, what an interesting idea. If I get thousands of people walking and call them the free radicals, it immediately creates a clan, a kind of network, a kind of association with. It's not being overwhelmed anymore because there's other people doing exactly what I'm doing, right? So you see yourself walking, and then somebody in Australia is walking, and somebody in Africa is walking, and that's the sort of idea behind the free radical video part of it, to create a network, a clan. And in the painting side of things, I think once we're able to translate our knowledge and this overwhelmed, the more it piles on, the facts, the more overwhelming I think it becomes. That's my response.
This is why social engineering has got to be part of the Age of Vision radio show, because we are products of social engineering right now, and it's that same thing of when you're overwhelmed, you become immobile. This is part of the process of the social engineering, is to make every single individual feel as if they are meaningless, their efforts do not matter, that they're too small to make a difference, they've done a bunch of horrible things in their life, and now they don't have the right to speak up. I mean, it is just part of the entire process of keeping them. If we had 12 million people deciding they were going to, in this country, adults, calling the Nuclear Regulatory Commission today, overwhelming them with emails, and calling the Energy Commission at Congress and telling them that the nuclear industry is too dangerous, we need to stop Fukushima, and we need to figure out a process to shut down the nuclear cartel. If we had 12 million Americans doing that today, it would shut down in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But part of why we don't is when you talk to people about nuclear, I talk to people about nuclear, their eyes glaze over. They do not want to hear it because they're afraid if they talk about it, they're going to get cancer. They're afraid that something's going to happen to them. So we live in a world where denial is not just something that they do. It's what's they're just trained to do it. And, you know, my own children think I'm extreme. I have a really hard time with that because I was not extreme before Fukushima. I didn't even know. In fact, for a year and a half, I just thought everything was just fine. So this is how deep it is. And I really love the idea of moving, creating a movement that people can attach to, not just the artists and the people who express themselves through artwork, because you are completely correct. People have an intrinsic need to express themselves.
Yes.
I think every creature does. You know, my science teacher kind of laughed at me one time because we were trying to figure out scientific questions, right? And one of my questions was, all creatures have an intrinsic need to sing? Because I think that singing is an important part of being alive. Like, you know, mothers sing to their children. Oh, you listen to the birds, they're singing. Even dogs and cats, they all sort of make these funny little noises to their babies.
I get a feeling when in the morning when I wake up and birds are singing, they kind of balance something around the environment. It's like almost like a feeling that things are being balanced. They're doing their job. You know, it's like it's a mystery, but I get a really great feeling when I listen to that, any kind of bird song, and I think they're actually balancing the environment somehow. I don't know how, but they're doing it.
That idea about, have you heard about sound healing? There's a whole idea about sound healing.
Well, you mentioned that, yes.
Yeah,
you mentioned
I don't know a lot about it, but I've heard this woman who invented a way to help people heal themselves through sound. According to her, there was not a disease she had not met that could not correct itself through sound healing.
That's amazing. Well,
I've often said, I bet you sound healing is going to be the answer to neutralizing the radiation, because we are at this point where we need to come up with ideas that are so off the charts that we can't even imagine it, because that's where we're at with Fukushima. Fukushima, trillions of, they're now just pouring they've been doing it, but now they're at least admitting they're just pouring it into the Pacific. They're not even making an attempt. It's like the NRC with the Hormesis thing. And let me digress here. I still encourage everybody to go onto the NRC website, post your comments. It's www.nrc.gov, and go to where it says public comments, and it says comments open for discussion or open public comments available. There's a drop down menu. You can look at it. It says linear, nonlinear versus Hormesis theory or something like that, and click on that. It's something 2015-0057 is my recollection. But make your public comments. You can go right online and make your public comments, because this insanity of moving us into a Hormesis theory because the radiation is so bad the NRC doesn't want to have to say they're not going to test for it is outrageous. And it's a crime against humanity. And I honestly think we need to demand our government pull back from the insanity. So.
It's an easy thing to do, actually. I clicked on it and it was, I'm in Canada, so they allow anybody.
So you made a comment on yourself. You did it yourself.
Yeah, from here. Even the Canucks are allowed to get on, you know.
Well, let's talk about the idea of consciousness. I think we've gone on a little bit about the free radicals. It's kind of a hard concept, but let me just synopsize it really quick so we can move on, and you correct me if I'm wrong. The free radicals is basically what we are attempting to do is get people to engage in this process. We have, Thomas has these, what he calls skins. They look like a very thin, like piece
plastic.
Of plastic, basically. And the artists are to paint on these pieces of plastic. And then when they dry, send them back to Tom. And then we're going to create an art show that we are hoping to get into a national museum, not some funky little museum that they have popped up in every single little, you know, gentrified city. We're talking about national museums that'll get an ISBN number, so it'll be recollected in history, and we can actually make an impact. And if Thomas, with his knowledge in the art industry, understands that when you get the ISBN number, you're talking to really people who buy artwork throughout the world, not just the people that walk through the museums. And he believes that this is really where we're going to make a dent or an impact and maybe be able to create a consciousness. This is where we get back into being conscious. The consciousness that there is some big fucking thing going on out there that everybody needs to pay attention to. So is
that's
that
right. Yes.
Is that,
yeah.
Kind of synopsize it pretty quick, Tom.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's good in the sense also that it's what's important in this is that you're not necessarily a proficient expert at making a painting. That's not the point. The point is that people come together and I will make the painting through my process absolutely gorgeous. It's like the idea, you know, people...
Wait, back up here. You're going to tell them that you're going to make their paintings look more gorgeous, like, as an artist? You know what I mean? Like, no offense, but I'm just going to, as a person who, like, I guess myself a closet artist here. Like, that would, like, personally, as an artist, I take a... You're going to make it, give it a different look.
Yes, no, but...
It's the same painting, but it has a different finish.
Okay, here, when I say gorgeous, I'm talking not about your subject. I'm talking about the way the surface looks. It's like, right. It's a beautiful, sensual surface. And if you're standing, let's say, when I pull this off with probably as many as 100 different artists. So imagine yourself in a large room in a museum with 100 artworks. And some of them will be larger, some smaller, depends. Maybe all the same size. I haven't decided yet. But you look down the wall and you see all these paintings and they all look the same, like the same person did them, right? Because the process, it's not like everybody has their unique way of making their paintings. Their surface is unique. And then you look down this wall and you see hundreds of paintings that all look the same off the surface. But then you stand in front of them, and one of them might be very realistic, and another one is very abstract, and you say to yourself, how could this artist have so many different ways of expressing themselves? And then you realize, oh my God, these are all different people, but they all look similar or alike in the surface. And I have always said that the surface is the primary, the medium, what Marshall McLuhan said, the medium is the message. You know that Canadian guy who came up with that? Marshall McLuhan?
No, I don't know him.
He's like an iconic figure in literature, and he was a teacher at the University of Toronto.
And he's came Canadian. Up, do you know what that means?
The what? What's
I'm
that?
American. He's a Canadian. You know what that means?
Yeah. No, who's that? What? Where is Canada? Yeah, we're up north. We're a little north from where you are.
I swear to God, I really am like the perfect person to introduce the Post Ignorance Project because really, this is what it's about is like being who you really are and deciding to get better, right?
Okay, but I gotta finish my shtick on Marshall because Marshall McLuhan. And a buddy of mine wrote the definitive work on him. He was a student of his and a brilliant dissertation on the man who came up with the idea, the medium is the message, which is what's happening. It's like even surpasses Bernay, or maybe Bernay is included in that concept. But the idea of these free radical paintings, that each painting looks exactly the same. If you look at them from a side, from the side view, you don't look at the subject.
Oh, I get it.
This is the revolutionary thought. It's not a group show where you have different people trying to look sort of on the same subject or something. And I've never really liked group shows very much. They never work. They try to create stories around them. But this basically unifies this concept, like the clan, but everybody is totally individual. There, it's like nobody will look anything like the other person. You get what I'm saying here?
You get it. So let's move forward because we're about halfway through the radio show. I really want to talk about this idea of consciousness because we've touched on it a little bit, but really the point of the Free Radical show and the Free Radical effort is to help people really decide to embrace their own conscience. Because what we have now in our culture is a whole civilization of people too intimidated by the system to just really move forward and speak up. I mean, we now have mothers subjecting their children to vaccines. They go into a doctor's office and they're required, at least in the United States, to give their baby a vaccine for hepatitis, something that you can only contract through sexual contact.
Wow.
I mean, it's an outrage.
It's insane.
And the women, when I talk to women about it, they're like, well, you know, the doctor says I need it. And like, no, we have a right and an obligation as human beings to exercise what we have been granted, and that is our conscience. Part of what's happened is we have been badgered into believing that we do not have the right to speak up. And we do have the right to speak up. And I believe we have a moral obligation to stop the nuclear industry. If we take a look at the real truth of what it has done to our planet, it is really literally, I think I shared this with you earlier, that my daughter gave me a book over the weekend called The Fifth Sacred Thing by Starhawk. She's been telling me to read it for about 3 years now, and I never picked it up. I never read it. She said, Mom, I'm going to give you this book because I know you're never going to go buy it, right? So I open it up. In the beginning of the book is this thing that says Declaration of the Four Sacred Things. You know what the four sacred things are? Air, fire, water, and earth. Now, this is why I can't stop thinking about this, because on an unconscious and unconscious level, at a really deep root, when I understood what was going on with Fukushima and really comprehended it, I began to realize that we are destroying the air, we are destroying the water, and we are destroying the earth. And it is going to start on fire. Like, if we don't stop this thing, what's going on at the Columbia Generating Station? The thing that woke me up that morning when I found out what that nightmare, I've talked about this before, that's how I recognized that Fukushima was out of control. I believed the propaganda hook, line, and sinker. I had a nightmare on May 5th, 2012, and I swear to God, I saw the horizon to the north where Hanford is from where I'm at, completely red on fire, and I was freaked out thinking that Hanford was on fire. And I realized, and what I dug and found on the internet was that Fukushima's out of control. But it is that very same thing. I now comprehend, 2.5 years into this, that my vision about the fire in the north could be a very real proposal if something happens at the Columbia Generating Station and nobody can get into Hanford. That place will blow up and it will be a fire that will burn for several hundred years at a minimum and poison the entire northern hemisphere, if not the planet. We've already got Fukushima doing it on Balco. Can you imagine if we had two Fukushimas going on at the same time? That's unconscionably horrific. And there would be no answers. So this is what drives me here. Now, you know what the fifth sacred thing is, which is perfect for our show? This is what the whole story of this book about. It's about spirit.
Right.
It's about appreciating and recognizing the sacred thing is spirit. So the earth murderers are murdering the fire, the earth, the water, the air, and they are also murdering our spirit. And I believe it's part of the social engineering intentionally so that they can manipulate us to the nth degree so that we just allow them to live in abject wealth like the gods that they believe that they are. And we little ants will be decimated and they can ultimately fly off to some other planet or who the fuck knows where they think they're going after they've destroyed us.
Spirit might have been the first victim, rather than the earth, the water, the sky. You know, that came after. I think what I call the a priori is likely the spirit that was already decimated over the last thousands of years of pummeling that we've taken all the way back to the holier than thou, the rulers of the planet, the Akhenatens, the divine right of kings. This whole concept is so contrary to our nature. The idea that somebody has some divine right from some fictitious being somewhere, you know, that they've come up with. That's a whole other thing. But
yeah. The
spirit.
That's pretty insightful. I think you're right. Maybe that is the first thing, so that they could go after their fight. I mean,
that's right.
I am completely blown away at the level of just complete. This is why it's so urgent. This is why we're devoting a whole show to this idea of conscience and consciousness. And actually, not just consciousness, but conscience. Act on your conscience. Have the courage. This is why it's so important for people to have the courage to really ask the questions. Don't make assumptions. Assert what you believe. Say what you think. We have elected officials who are kowtowing out of fear, and I really believe that they have been colluded with the threats of death or murder or God knows what would happen to their families. I mean, I understand that threat. It's, you know, personally, it hit me home. In 2009, I was investigated by the Capitol Police over basically some slander. I called Mike Pence's office when he was a congressman and told his office I disagreed with his vote to not renew the unemployment benefits for people who had just been decimated financially. And I said, look, you know, your refusal to give somebody $400 a month in New York might make somebody freeze to death over the winter. His office said, thank you very much, hung up and called the Capitol Police and told them I threatened to murder their staff.
Oh, wow.
And I was, they actually contacted the Eugene Police Department, and Officer Donica here in town had to investigate me for a week, and after his investigation called me up and said, you know, did you call Congress? He couldn't find anything on me. He couldn't figure out why this had happened. And I was livid. I was angry. He pushed my button and I went off for about 10 minutes telling him blah, 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 to the point where when I stopped, he kind of laughed and said, okay, I get your point.
Right. He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed.
Well, this is how deep it goes, right? And he said, well, you won't be here.
He had a conscience. He was embarrassed.
Well, I said, you know what? You should be calling your congressman. You should object, because this is using a little tiny town in Oregon for political slander. And they know this is the long arm of intimidation. They know I do not have the money to sue them for slander. And this is how those bastards operate. And I was furious. And frankly, it worked. I stayed silent until I contacted Kevin Blanch and said, hey, can you come here and do a symposium? That's how long it took until 2013. I went, holy crap, I think I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah.
See, and so I get it. When I say that I am the, like, a poster child for the post-ignorant, I mean, I think I embraced Kevin's concept. You know, Kevin invented this idea of the Post-Ignorance Project, and I embraced the concept really deeply at a deep level. And for myself, it's evolved into this whole idea of we have an obligation to act and not... It's one thing to be angry and be outraged and all this other stuff, but we need action. The outrage and the anger is only meant to get us off our asses, not to live in the anger. There's no point in living in anger. This is why I say happiness is resistance. I choose to be happy. Is there a lot of shit, horrible things going on? Yeah. But you know what? I'm choosing, and it's not just la-la, I'm going to live in la-la land, we'll all hold hands. I am willing to have real discourse with people who I disagree with, and real discourse, and talk to them in a respectful manner and help them remember their humanity. Because what happens is people forget their humanity. We forget to treat each other as equals, as loving beings, people who really want to live on the planet in peace. Instead of, people go to Facebook and see these things and then they get all angry. I told my niece, you know what, you have to remember, a lot of what we're seeing on the social media is intentionally placed there to stir up fear, despair, anger, hate. And when you respond with anger and hate and despair, you are doing exactly what the social engineers want you to do. It is what they want. So we need to, as a species, rise above it and let our anger move us into peaceful action. It is extremely important that all of us, we can feel what we're supposed to be doing in our hearts. I know I'm supposed to be doing this. I know I'm supposed to be calling my congressman. And I may, as pointless as it might be, my neighbor does not believe in calling the Congress at all. He thinks it's a complete waste of time. All I'm doing is getting myself on some government list. That's his reality. But you know what? He's also extremely active in our community, helping and outreaching to poor people. So his mission is just as important as mine. We act in different ways. But I really believe, like, if all of us do the action that we know we need to do, he's given up on this idea that we can actually help our government improve. I have not. There are many people who listen to this radio show who think I'm completely delusional. But you know what? I don't have to be right. Maybe they are, but I know I need to take action in the manner that I... It's like me working with the Post-Ignorance Project, right, Tom? For the last 2 years, I was heavily involved, and it came to the point where I realized, you know what? That is not my mission anymore, and I really need to, like, not be part... It doesn't mean I'm not post-ignorant, but I'm not... It's not where I'm supposed to be, and now signs all came abundantly crashing down around me. This is so not the right place for you to be. So, and as soon... It was so ironic. As soon as I made that kind of internal decision, okay, then, you know, like, I'm not... Mimi German made a post, this is how ironic life is, about the Columbia Generating Station. And that has really seriously been placed on my heart that guess what? So we all need to take action and be willing to be growing human beings. And that's my... I'm sharing these ideas with you just to show you how consciousness works. To have, like, this is my thing about it. The whole thing I've been about with the Post-Ignorance Project and the Age of Fission radio show having evolved into this is really, I am using myself as an example. Because I think it's really important to understand that we are not isolated in our sense of hopelessness, our sense of we don't matter. This is why I kept silent from 2009 till 2013 when I invited Kevin up here, because I was intimidated. Mm-hmm. But yes. It didn't mean that I didn't have a conscience. It just meant I didn't have the courage to step out. Only until now when I realize they're really destroying us with the air and with the... I mean, they really are killing the Pacific Ocean and trying to say it's global warming. You know what I mean? And while it may be global warming on top of it, I think that the Fukushima has put the global warming on Balco. It has made it tremendously and is making it tremendously worse.
I think, Lonnie, a lot of what you're talking about is finding your voice and... It's like, you know, working at something. If I think about my paintings, I found my voice. And it didn't happen in the first 10. I mean, there's always a quality of peopleness of whoever is doing whatever they're doing. But to really what you call being on a mission, it's like you find your voice and you begin to feel something that is so strong, it's unavoidable. You have to act on it. And I think this is when you say consciousness, you want to talk about consciousness. Can I improve on Einstein on something here? Do you mind if I...
Sure, if you can improve on Einstein, go right ahead.
Okay, Einstein had a lot of little phrases that he gave, and I think one of them was that intuition must be served by reason or logic. This was like intuition is something that is a priori to being able to exist, to be in this existence. And I want to improve on that, and I would say that intuition absolutely is a factor that motivates us. But what's even more important is conscience. That what we have, we're all consciousness is everything. But we have this ability inside of us. I am convinced of this, that we all know when we're doing the right thing and when we're doing the wrong thing. And Einstein's idea of intuition may have possibly touched on this concept of doing the right thing. I think this is what he was invoking. But let's give it the name. Let's say that we have within us what you're feeling in your own self and what I'm feeling, that I have a conscience that somehow pushes me to do what I know to be the right thing. And I think that's what needs to be activated. And to come back to the free radicals, that you contact me and you work with me on promoting this idea to the museums to get our word out. This would be an action. It's not just like something that somebody or I know. I'm turning something that I know through my conscience.
Well, then, Tom, can you give out your email address or a way for someone who might be listening to this radio show to contact you
that you can get
this idea?
My website is ackerman-artist.com. Ackerman, double N, hyphen artist.com.
And then
there's email. Yeah, you can contact me through my website Ackerman, double N, hyphen artist.com. And I would love to work with...
Okay, so that's Ackerman at...
Hyphen, no, not at. Okay. Just go to the website. There is an email link there.
Okay. And spell out the website, would you please?
It's Ackerman hyphen artist.com.
Artist, A-R-T-I-S-T.
That's right.
Dot com.
And contact me. And there are probably right now about 13 or 14 different artists that have submitted on the specially prepared plastic that I do and sent it back to me. So there are probably over 30 different artworks that are free radical artworks, aside from my own that I have, that are ready. And I'm looking for probably about at least 30 or 40 different artists. That's what I would really like to start off. So you have a monumental show to start with. And that's why we need a bigger place. It's going to cost as well. I mean, there is money and expenses involved in this. And I need people. I'm not asking for money here. I'm saying that people can, that'll come. When these museums come on board, they have budgets. They have big budgets that they can afford this. So
the idea is to get somebody to go show the presentation to these national museums, get an appointment with the curator of the museum.
Yes.
Show them the, you have a zip drive that they can plug into their computers and show them the artwork. You don't have to be an expert in art. You just show them the concept and say, we'd like to have a space in the museum. However, if we could plan it, say, for next year, and be real, things don't happen quickly in the art world. It would be a planned event probably for 9 months to a year from now, correct?
Oh, much more sometimes. There's sometimes backlog for 2.5 or 3 years. So
that's good. See, these are non-artist questions to know, but the point is what we need is representatives, not only artists to participate, people who want to submit artwork, but we need people who are willing to sell the project to these national museums so that we can actually accomplish the task.
Yes, and the other part of the Free Radicals is that I would be willing to open a free radical chapter, almost, if you want to call it that, in a community anywhere. And then for a 3-month period, invite local artists, people that want to contribute to this. And with at the end of it would be their museum would show this work of their community doing free radical work. So the process I will assist people in their presentations. And when they go to a museum to make the presentations, I will assist them. I will help them. And with the letters or with, certainly with the images and the zip drive and all that stuff. So
you can even Skype. I mean, in this day and age, a curator could get you on a laptop and you guys could Skype and talk about it.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do to move this process along. But part of it is really to just help, not only help people get actively engaged, but it is a constructive effort to bring about the conscious, you know, to allow people to act on their conscience.
To act on it,
instead of just feeling like useless, like there's nothing we can do. There are things that we can do beyond poking the bastards in the eye by calling them all the time.
Yeah.
We can create a cultural meme where this is no longer acceptable for us to just take it, and no matter what, there's nothing we can do. There are plenty of things that we can do, and part of this
beyond giving money. Beyond, it's not a matter of just giving money. People always ask for money. I don't want anybody's money. If you want to buy a painting, you can buy a painting, but I don't want, you know, I'm not going to ask for any money from anybody. But what I am asking for is their own expertise in making the presentation, something that I'm actually flawed at. I don't know. I'm too close to the work, Lonnie. You know, most artists that are pretty good at what they do, they get kind of tongue-tied or get arrogant or pissed off easily. I get pissed off very easily when somebody just sort of misses it, and it's right in front of them, and I say, look, it's right there. What are you doing? And, you know, it's like, I'm not good at
making. Well, part of that, I think part of what happens, especially if you're showing them artwork that has related to Fukushima or anything to do with the nuclear industry, they glaze over because they know they have to glaze over. It is exactly like if you talk to a newscaster. I mean, so many times Kevin got upset because people would interview him and then not put him on. Well, the reason why the people from Beyond Nuclear and Chuck from Oregon for Physicians for Social Responsibility, they get in front of cameras and they get in front of the Congress and they're all like soft-spoken and really nice, is they know if you challenge the status quo, you will not get in front of those people again. And so it's a matter of they're making conscious decisions. Here we go again about acting on their conscience. They're making conscious decisions to not act on their conscience. That's the ironic part about it all, right? So this word conscience is a hard word in English just to say, but the concept of acting on your conscience is a harder, much more difficult thing to do, because many times you have to step on the toes of the power that's right in front of you. You know what I mean? And it matters. And then you know as soon as the camera goes off or as soon as the interview's over or whatever it is, the axe is going to fall on your head and you have to be willing to take it. And that's part of what, you know, this is why people don't protest with us in the streets on the nuclear cartel. They know that they could get in trouble. Quote, trouble. I mean, we're talking about adults acting like third graders. We're going to get in trouble. It's beyond belief. This is really the state of our country and of our culture. And, you know, I see that we're 8:56 right now. We just have a few minutes. But this is why in the Age of Fission radio show, I will be talking about social engineering and consciousness. And I really appreciate your time here, Thomas, discussing this idea of the free radical movement and what you want to accomplish. And I'm 100% on board and with it. Why don't you repeat the name of your website one more time so people can get in touch with you?
Sure, Lonnie. It's Ackerman, ackerman-artist.com. And there's an email link on my website.
Okay, because people that are not, don't want to pick up a paintbrush can actually still get engaged in helping this become a success. And we are determined to have it become a success, just as determined as I am. I have now made progress, and I'll talk about this on Friday, on understanding how complicated it is to get the Columbia Generating Station shut down before we have a catastrophic emergency. However, there does look like they have been making really good, slow, steady progress. I will discuss this probably on Monday or at a later date, and I'm hoping to get someone from maybe Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility or Mimi German, someone to talk about the status up there. But, you know, this is one of those little secrets in the room that most people aren't aware of, how utterly dangerous it is, which is why Helen Caldicott went up there and went to a protest up there. I have a video of her that locally made. My friend just videotaped her and sent it to me. This is why she thought it was important to come to Washington, talk about Columbia Generating Station and Hanford. It is the dirty little secret of the Northwest that Hanford is sitting only 15 miles away from a Columbia Generating Station, which, by the way, has cracks in it that they are refusing to admit and adjust to because they say they're not big enough. So, look, we are at 8:58. I want to thank everybody who has joined our radio show today. I hope you got a lot of value out of it, but I really believe that this idea of helping us move into an age of consciousness and it being conscious, acting on your own conscience is really important. And Thomas, I want to thank you for being here once again. I really appreciate your contribution to the radio show. I hope you'll be back on sometime soon.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for inviting me on, Lonnie. And I also really appreciate your openness and dedication. I think this is a real strong
thing. It's going to go away.